call me.
And here, within the walls of the Houses of Parliament, we see a group, or to use the correct term, a conspiracy, of politicians gathered for their daily ritualistic behaviour. Evolution has seen these rather untrustworthy creatures move from the practice of throwing actual feces at each other in favour of barbed witticisms and backbiting. Traditionally, the chamber divides into two sides, but recently, academics have seen new social structures and alliances forming with unprecedented results. Where the collective good of the larger tribe is supposed to be the goal of these creatures, there has been a marked increase in challenges to the specimens that congregate here, due in the main to increasing widespread dissatisfaction at their ability to provide for the wider societal groups they are responsible for. The Alpha Male, or Prime Minister as he is known, has in this instance a smaller male serving as a whipping boy to his agenda, a mechanism which allows him to deflect not only the attacks on his status as overall leader, but also provide a human shield for his party as a whole. No one is really sure what purpose it serves the lackey, or Lib Dem as he is known, as wider studies have found the role has had significant negative effects on the Lib Dem popularity. Behaviours have changed to the contrary of their usually held actions and beliefs. Opposite the ruling side of the chamber sits their increasingly sloth-like counterparts, who, after years of unchallenged rule, found themselves ousted and now somewhat apathetic in their lower positions of the power hierarchy. Many seem to circle around aimlessly, awaiting for signs of leadership to begin a fresh round of campaigning. But today, we seek a rarer variety of public servant. It is rumoured that the lesser-spotted honest politician could make a return to the fold. Often cut off from the safety of the party fold, these specimens struggle to find a foothold in which they can build and feather their own nests, in the same way that the others do. However, many nests or seats have in recent times been overturned and even occupied by external forces, leaving a pathway for the new breed to come through. The Alpha deflects these challenges by implementing strategies of fear and austerity on the wider group, similar to the male gorilla banging his chest and eating larger proportions of the food. And yet, resistance to this remains low, while the shadowy opposition continues to lick its wounds. No one is really sure what the future holds for this rather callous breed, but a cull looks more and more inevitable. One has to ask if extinction may in fact be the most effective measure. And you can hear the next installment of Feeling Blue Planet next week. And now, this.
Imagine a world where the dead rise again. Imagine you are being chased by a pack of hungry zombies. What would be on your iPod? This is no desert island holiday. This is survival. This is the Zed List.
Regular listeners of the Zed List may recognise the voice of today's guest as my counterpart in the many comedy sketches that we throw in. If you're like me, you'll have a friend that you turn to when everything goes wrong, be it the car breaking down or the computer just not doing what it should. This is my friend, Mr. Eagles. Welcome,
hi.
Eagle.
Hiya, how you doing?
Not too bad, thanks for coming on the show.
No worries.
Now, as I say, in the event of a zombie apocalypse, everything is going to be broken and not working, and so therefore you will of course be on speed dial, and I'll be seeking you out probably as a first measure. But how do you think you would survive without the sort of technology being there for you? Because I know you're quite reliant on it.
Yeah, I'm completely dependent on it. In the I'd die immediately. I think I wouldn't be able to. I wouldn't be able to do a job. I couldn't entertain myself. I couldn't maintain personal hygiene. I'd be ruined.
And
essentially.
Yet, you know, like me, you've known pre-internet days growing up.
Yeah, yeah. But they were rubbish, weren't they, really?
Yeah, I suppose. We had the A-Team and Knight Rider, and that was about it.
That was it, yeah. And on Airwolf.
Ooh, good call.
What others? Street Hawk.
Nice.
That's not bad. MacGyver.
Okay. Thinking about it, MacGyver, that's good training for zombie apocalypse. I've got plenty of MacGyver tricks in my back pocket. Grenades out of acorns and sap. I don't know the science behind that.
Fair enough.
Dubious, potentially.
Yeah, but, don't try this at home, kids.
But the actor went on to be in Stargate, so he must have known what he was doing.
Fair enough, but I can't see the cause for us to need to repair a nuclear reactor with chewing gum and silver paper.
Yeah.
Although, I suppose...
Well, you never know. Depends where you end up.
This is true.
Not in Japan.
Might have to cut that. You might have to cut that. Okay.
Too soon?
Okay, let's start your apocalyptic journey. As always, you turn on the TV and you hear this news report.
New word from the nation's top scientists on the zombie virus that appeared just 2 weeks ago. They released information saying that the symptoms to watch for are aggression, foaming from the mouth, deterioration of motor skills, and an unbelievable hunger. Be advised that if an infected becomes hostile, the only way to harm them is to shoot them in the head.
A quick look out the window, and the masses are gathering. The undead are starting to surround your home. Where are you going to be planning to head off to for safety?
Right. Well, it's a bit of a trek, but I'm going to go for the Large Hadron Collider.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, in CERN. So I've got to get to Geneva.
Okay.
It's a bit of a trek.
Yeah.
I've been there before, actually.
I went there
for my 30th birthday. I'm that much of a nerd. Had a tour.
It does sound like a pretty cool trip.
Well, yeah. No, but I just figured, you know, if there's anywhere where there's going to be some sort of sciencey nerds, some boffins that can kind of, you know, write the course of human existence, they're going to be there. And at the very least, we could perhaps repurpose it as a weapon.
Very good reasoning. So, okay. You know, yeah, awesome. Okay, and is there anything in particular you're going to be wearing for your jaunt across the sea?
Gold Converse.
Classic.
Always, because, you know, why not maintain some sort of sense of style?
Absolutely.
And probably a gimp suit, I think.
Well, it's going to be...
It's slippy.
Yeah,
you know, nobody's going to be able to grab anything on it. It's wiped clean, it's waterproof, warm. And I've got loads of them knocking about.
Okay, cool. Well, ask your parents about that, kids. All right. And for the run itself, what tune have you picked to motor you along?
This is In My House, Trying to Get Away. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm a bit into. I'm into my rock music, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of music, but certainly as I was growing up, like. Rock and metal was a big sort of influence on me, and the first band that got me into that kind of thing was Iron Maiden. And I figured, you know, what better tune to pick to do a mad zombie dash than 2 Minutes to Midnight?
Well, it's a rocking start. There's plenty of references, I think, to the undead in there. Let's give it a listen. So, having done the first run, you're standing at your destination, covered in blood and guts, you've no doubt dispatched plenty. And so, what has been your
weapon of choice?
Well, I'm big into my zombie movies, mm-hmm. and Peter Jackson, who directed the Lord of the Rings movies,
yep.
and currently doing The Hobbit and all that, he started off doing sort of very low budget horror movies in New Zealand. And so when I was thinking about what weapon I'd choose, I thought about the zombie movies I'd seen, mm-hmm. and figured I'd choose the weapon that I've seen kill the most zombies
right.
in the movie. So I'm going for a very early one. I think it's his second film, called Brain Dead. Mm-hmm. And the lead actor killed more zombies than I've ever seen anybody kill in a movie, and it was with a lawnmower. So,
lawnmower.
So yeah, I mean, it's not that like practical, but I figured, you know,
is it
the
motorized?
Very least, yeah, it's a motorised lawnmower. So literally, I'm going to need petrol. It's going to be a nightmare to carry. It'll be horrific, but I'm figuring that it, you know, at the very least, I mean, it's quite funny imagining a guy in gold Converse, a gimp suit. Dragging a lawnmower down the street, you know, that's good.
Yeah, it's a vision.
It's a sight. But yeah, I mean, I figured, you know, at the very least, I'll have a tidy lawn at the Large Hadron Collider. But if I do get to start it up and kill an oncoming wave of zombies, it's the last resort weapon.
Okay. Yeah, you've got a long way to go to Geneva with a lawnmower.
Yeah, well, it could be a ride on.
Fair enough. Yeah.
two birds, one stone.
Okay.
Bish bash bosh.
Nice. Right, okay, well, within the Hadron Collider, these clever boffins that you found, in their wisdom, I'm not sure it's a good omen, but they've decided to make you leader.
As you would.
Maybe yeah. It was the suit.
Yeah, oh, maybe, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
They don't get out much.
No, I'm just going to say that.
So your responsibility as leader is going to be to inspire some hope. So what song have you picked to inspire hope amongst the nerd survivors you've grouped with?
Yeah, well, I would choose a tune by Jason Status called Blind Faith. It's a great tune. It sort of harks back to, you know, sort of mid-90s where there was quite a big rave scene and stuff, and, you know, it conjures up all those old feelings. But also it's called Blind Faith, and I think most of the people that would be at the Large Hadron Collider, like myself, would probably be atheists. And, you know, in a sense, their faith in science is just the pursuit of knowledge, and
yeah,
I like it.
I think this was the tune of last year, I think.
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah. Proper good tune. I must have heard it like 100 times. And it's one of those tunes that I can listen to about 5 times in a row, and I still don't get bored of it.
Okay. Yeah, well, no, absolutely. Let's wait no longer. Here it is.
Let's play it 5 times in a row.
Okay. Within your backpack that you're carrying, we allow you to take 3 books to form your
Apoca Library.
So what have you chosen?
Right, well, you know, I thought long and hard about this, and my girlfriend is a literary snob. So I decided not to go down the Shakespeare route and you know, Dickens and all the classics, because it's a new day. That, you know, it's great stuff, but they've had their day. Get over it.
Okay.
So I'm moving on, and I think I just went purely for practical here. First would be Cheese Problems Solved by PLH McSweeney. I'll read you the blurb, it sounds amazing. Arranged in practical question and answer format, Cheese Problems Solved provides responses to more than 200 of the most commonly asked questions about cheese and the cheese-making process, from problems arising during the preparation of cheese milk and cheese ripening, to queries regarding cheese analysis and the nutritional profile of cheese. There's a whole lot of cheese in that.
There is. I think, you know, in this, you know, bright new future you're creating, I think you've perhaps got cheese covered.
I'm going nowhere without cheese.
Fair enough.
I think I'm not alone on that one. So that's essential. Secondly, I'm going to choose Knitting with Dog Hair by Kendall Crolius, which is, well, it does exactly what it says on the tin, really. I figured, well, the blurb sums it up. Better a sweater from a dog you know and love than from a sheep you'll never meet.
Well, you are practical, if nothing else.
Well, I'm never going to meet any sheep. I mean, they're slow-moving. The zombies would feast on them.
Yep.
Plenty of dogs knocking around.
Mm-hmm.
Probably zombie dogs, so that's something to be careful of. But if you pop their clogs, you get yourself a nice sweater.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get infected from a zombie dog jumper.
No, that'd be fine.
You'll be fine.
Good stuff.
Okay.
And the last one is a book by Dylan Taylor called Beginner's Guide to Sex in the Afterlife.
You are, again, practical, if nothing else.
Well, I figured if I am going to be turned, then I want to be the first zombie to get laid.
Fair enough. A man of ambition.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I don't see why being turned and, you know, turning into the Walking Dead should mean the end to a healthy sex life, and I want to be prepared.
Well, how could I possibly argue with logic like that? But on that tender thought, let's turn to your emotional memory track, the track that would perhaps be playing in those melancholy moments where the harshness of the new reality hit you. What have you chosen?
I've chosen a tune called Between Two Lines by the Glitch Mob. It's not a particularly well-known tune, but it's a really good sort of electronica kind of vibe to it, and it's just about you know, the shortest distance between two points is a line from me to you. That's the hook, and I think I'd be quite melancholy at the fact that my girlfriend would inevitably be dead, because as much as I love her, she's not particularly practical. And I think she'd last all of 5 minutes in a zombie apocalypse, so I'm inevitably going to be alone.
Oh, bless you, Mel. Well, I hope you make it, certainly. If only for someone to make me a good cup of tea, as you always do. But enough of that that sentimentality. Let's get on with your song. So, aside from recording nonsense with myself, you are also known as being part of a very secret underground powerhouse of a rock band. By the name of Raw Messiah.
That's Raw Messiah.
Now, Raw Messiah are perhaps my favourite group in the world.
Oh, Fattery will get you absolutely everywhere.
Your gigs are beyond comparison.
Yeah.
And
three of them.
All three of them, indeed. Yeah. And certainly I'd long for the new tour.
Yeah,
Is there any likelihood we're going to get a gig sometime soon?
Well, we've been averaging one gig a year. And you know, we figured it's quality, not quantity.
Indeed.
So yeah, we might well do a show in London this year. If not, maybe in our hometown of Plymouth, sunny Plymouth.
Okay. Well, I swear one day we will drag you to Bristol.
Yeah, it's got to be done
for everyone to hear what my enthusiasm is really all about. In fact. What is your guilty pleasure, perchance?
Funny you should mention that, because, my guilty pleasure, I mean, there's no more guiltier pleasure than listening to your own music, I find.
Fair enough.
Naked. which is obligatory, so if you could all take your clothes off right now.
Tea time listening.
There's nothing wrong with nudity. It's what you do when you're naked that makes it illegal. Why did I say illegal?
No idea.
Okay, well, yeah, my guilty pleasure tune is a tune by my own band, Raw Messiah, and it's called Drinks Are On You.
The drinks are on you. Let's hear it. The clever gizmo you're carrying around with your tunes on also has space for one movie. It's perhaps the last movie in existence, so a great responsibility. I hope you're taking it seriously, although I doubt it.
Well, yeah.
What's your movie choice?
I've gone for a funny. I'm a bit of a movie snob, so I've sort of put all that to one side and figured I'd just go for Office Space, which is a comedy movie, mainly as an incentive for the new civilization to not adopt the same sort of horrendous corporate principles that underpin our current civilization. So, yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't have a red stapler as your weapon of choice.
It's my stapler. Yeah, that'd be my weapon of choice.
Okay, well, I have to say, at this point, the plan for heading towards CERN seems to have paid off. You've got a defendable position, and the nerds there... Well, sorry, I should call them scientists, really. They are professionals.
Yeah, they work long and hard.
They do. They are at the cutting edge
of
discovery.
They're self-professed nerds, though, actually. The whole nerd-geek argument always comes up. But, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm a nerd. I consider myself a nerd. And yeah. Where it would pride.
Yeah, it's not derogatory anymore.
No, I don't think so.
Fine. Well, the nerds are happy, which I'm glad. So, in their exuberance and relief at surviving, they've declared you president of the new society. And the perk of the job is you get to pick the new anthem for civilization. So, what have you chosen?
Well, it was a tough call, but I've gone for God Gave Rock and Roll by Kiss.
Well, it surprises me because I know you're an atheist and you've got religion in there.
Indeed, yeah. Well, you know, it's only by name and, you know, the Bible, it might not be my cup of tea, but it's a good story.
I suppose you are worshipping rock.
Exactly. You know, it's like, yeah, it all depends on context, but it's just a great tune. And, you know, it's anthemic and, I'm all over it.
Let's get all on the majesty of God Gave Rock and Roll to you. So, that about wraps it all up. Thank you, Andy, for joining me at the very last minute. I dragged you in to make your choices and somewhat rushed you. And, in fact, vetoed a couple of your choices, mainly because I want them for my own.
Yeah, and I don't want to be arrested.
So. Indeed. So, thank you once again. Andy Eagles.
Cheers.